When I remember what the Lord has done, I will never go back anymore.
Today, even you'll be the same God, even until Father, you come and take us into rapture, Father. And we believe, Father, there's nothing, Father, on this earth, Father, that we can have, Father, as a problem that, Father, you cannot, Father, conquer for us, Father. It's like we sing this morning that, Father, when we remember what you've done to us, Father, we can never go back anymore, Father. Because, Father, through the blood, Father, that was shed on the cross, Father, we are the kind of individual that we are presenting ourselves unto you this morning, Father. And we believe that, Father, through that blood, Father, we can conquer each and everything, Father. We believe, Father, you are the God of Daniel, Father, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Father, who managed, Father, to even deliver them from the fire, Father. Even this morning, Father, we might be going through our own kind of fires, Father, not the similar kind of fire that Daniel, Shadrach, and Meshach, and Abednego went through, Father. But we believe, Father, that as long as we are with you, Father, you'll be the fourth man in the fire, Father, delivering us from each and every situation that we might be having, Father. And we believe, Father, that as long as we are here, Father, we believe even, Father, that as long as we are here, Father, as long as you've given us your word, Father, as long as, Father, you've given us the seventh seal, Father, as long as you've given us the authority of the seventh seal, Father, we'll be able to conquer each and everything, Father, that the devil can lay in front of us, Father. Hear our children, Father, your children this morning, Father. You know what is in the depth of their heart, Father. You know their heart desires, Father. I may just, Father, maybe just try to anticipate what is it that they may need, Father. But, Father, even before the beginning of the world, Father, you knew, Father, what is it that we'll be needing this morning, Father. Whether it might be, Father, just deliverance, Father, from the evil one, Father, or just to strengthen them, Father, just to be able to continue with the fight that we're going through this morning, Father. Because, Father, we know that we are not fighting a war of flesh, Father, but we are fighting a spiritual warfare, Father. That true that we should, the kind of war, Father, that we as individuals we cannot conquer, Father. That the only person, Father, who can make us go through this battle, Father, and make us be victorious, Father, is only you, Father. That is why this morning, Father, I give this service unto you, Father, so that, Father, you do as you will with us this morning, Father, so that, Father, you will be able to lift us, Father, from glory to glory, Father, strengthen us, Father, from more power to power, Father, so that as we go out this morning, we'll be a renewed individual, Father, strengthened, Father, and be ready for battle, Father. We believe, Father, that as our brother is leading us with songs this morning, Father, may you be the one, Father, who will bless him, Father. May he be able to lift us unto the level, Father, so that when the pastor come with your word, Father, we'll be ready, Father, to receive your word, Father. I pray, believing in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
I want us to sing a song. Hallelujah, in teaching of God. As our musicians prepare for to come and lend us their items. Hallelujah. Ntere loko mizi wana yini so. Iena iwona. Ntere loko mizi wana yini so. Iena iwona.
Yeah. Oh,
give us the national anthem as we welcome men of God with announcements. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
all in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Before we take our seats, I would like Brother Mahlangu to come forward just to give us a prayer. There is one prayer request that we have. Sister Matlomoza is hospitalized, so if you can just remember her this morning in prayer and just pray that God will touch her and give her a speedy recovery. And if while Brother McClung is coming this forward, just if we can just close our eyes, and then also he will pray also for the tithes and offering. Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's pray. Nkulunkulu mnene mandla wonke kusini siyabonga ithuba elihle nesikhathi esihle nobumnandi osihlala usenzela bona bokuthi baba sijabule kuwena njengoba inkosi yami usho njalo siyazwela ukuthokoza okukhulu uma sendlini yakho ebukhoneni bakho la kubonakala khona ukuthi inkosi ukhona phakathi kwethu naba bantwana bakho sihlangene inkosi yami sikudumisa ngamahubo okukubonga nkosi yami sikhombisa imisebenzi emikhulu osenzele yona empilweni zethu baba siyabonga ngeminikelo nkosi yami ekhishwa abantwana bakho njengamanje ukubonga lokho nkosi yami siyazi uNkulunkulu wenza okukhulu okudlula lokho kodwa nkosi yami sithi ngemizimba yethu naye siyinikela kuwena nangemilomo yethu siyabonga uNkulunkulu wethu mnene mandla onke uNkulunkulu ongehlulwa yilutho siyazi nkosi yami ukuthi emhlabeni esiphila kuwona nakulo mzimba esihlala kuwona usathana uyeza asahlele kodwa nkosi yami khona la ngeke afike khona lapho nkosi yami odwebe khona uline wathi la angeke uze ufike njengoba washo nkosi yami kuJobe wathi sathana ungenza konke kodwa ungamthinti yena nabantwana bakho nkosi yami noma imizimba yabo ibathathi babeka kezinye izindawo uNkulunkulu namandla kubona ngala ngathi khona ubuthakathaka siyazi inkosi yami ukuthi khona okubhekile wena okulwelayo ukuthi bona uqubulwabo bangathintwa ilutho ngiyakhuleka manje inkosi yami ukuthi umzimba abahleli kuwona umzimba wabo inkosi yami obuthakathaka wena inkosi yami ophilisayo ongehlula ilutho ngoba nguyizolo namhlanje naphakade owakwenza ngaphambilini imanga namhlanje usazizenza ngoba unguNkulunkulu ungaguquki ngiyakhuleka manje igameli kaJesu Kristu ukuthi inkosi uJesu baphilise ebuthakathakeni babo uma kugula makuhambe baphola abantwana bakho basukume bagqume bakudumise ngoba nkosi yami unguNkulunkulu ufanele ukudunyiswa banikela kuwena nkosi yami njengosister Mahlomusa selabikiwe phakathi kwethu nkosi yami lalele khona ngalo yakho nkosi yami ayifinyelele kuyena umthinte sithanda ukuzwa indaba ezimnandi nkosi yami emva kwalokhu ukuthi usekhaya uphilile uNkulunkulu wami isonto elilandelayo sizibona sihlangene naye kule ndawo baba egameni lika Jesu Kristu Nkosi lokho siyaqela kuwe kuphela baba ongasenzela khona akekho umunye uNkulunkulu wethu namandla wonke busisa neminikelo abantwana bakhe abayikhiphile wenezele njalo Nkosi yami labathethe khona kungabonakala lutho Nkosi yami ukuthi khona okuphumile kodwa kube nikwenezeleke baba egameni lenkosi yethu Jesu Kristu amen.
As you can have us to the seat, amen. I'd like to once more, I'd like to greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I have a few announcements that I would like to pass to the saints. But first of all, I'd like to welcome all our visitors who make an effort this morning just to come and fellowship with us this morning. I'm just going to introduce them one by one. And while I call your name, just raise your hand so that we can acknowledge your presence. Amen. We have Sister Tiro and Sister Priti. If they can just kindly raise their hands. And then also we have Brother Nape. Yeah, he is just here at the front. And also Brother Paul Mbikia. Mbikai, yes. And then also Brother Joseph Kamanga. God bless you, brother. And then Sister Gugu. Very nice. And then Brother Glenn. Oh, yeah. There's the other. And also Brother Mandla and Sister Lebohang Mokashwa. Yeah. God bless you. And also Brother Progress Landa and his wife, Portia, and his children. If you can also just raise their hands. And also Brother Benjamin Kasede. Amen. God bless you. And also we have a few apologies. I think if we can just look among us, Brother Mpanyan is not around, so he's just held up at work. And then also Sister Maseko also is also at work. And then also Brother Msizi. And then also Sister Madi also is not away. And I believe that wherever they are as well, they're just remembering us in prayer. And then even us this morning, let's just remember them in prayer wherever they are. Amen. And then also there's just one announcement that I would like to pass to the saints. I think as we can see, we are fast approaching December. So I'm just reminding the saints to just not forget to prepare for the December convention. If we can just take your diaries and just mark these dates, I think it will be on the 25th, 26th December. For now, we are not sure exactly about the date, the venue, but for now, the venue for now will be in Mamelodi Tabernacle until further notice. Amen. So if we can just try to remember to prepare early, and then also for those ones who don't have transport, if they can just come and see me and Brother Dipadi, and also Brother Mahlangu, so that we can just try to organize transport for you while it is still early. And then so that we, all of us, will be able to go there and fellowship with all the other saints in Mamelodi. Amen. So I think that is all that we have this morning. So I will just want us to just rise up, and then if we can just sing one song that I like so much. Brother Mtokosis, if we can just say, Jehovah is your name, mighty warrior. And then as we usher the pastor to come for, amen.
Jehovah is your name. Jehovah is your name.
Jehovah is
your name.
can just sing us another one, my brother.
Uyahala, uyahala, lela, Jesu, wama, uyahala, lela. Lela, Uyana, Jesu, ama, ama,
this morning. Amen. 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 Hey, to see you in church this morning. Amen. So one of the elders of the community. Amen. And then we are happy to be with you. As we turn to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, from verse 1. It is my favorite portion of the scripture. It says, we'll just wait until you find it. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1, it reads in this manner. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. What a commitment from the Lord. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance of the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them as we pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we are very much thankful to be in your presence this morning. There could have been a lot of places where we could have gone, but not many places have got eternal life, dear God. This morning, we have just decided to come and rally around your word, because your word will give us the results that we need. And Lord, I believe that every man and woman in this building may have some sort of a battle that they may be going through. But as you gave a personal commitment to Joshua, that as I was with Moses, I will be with thee, I think it can be extended to the people that believe the same way that Joshua believed. And this morning I say, grant these men and women their heart's desire and make the devil to be absolutely nothing in their lives, because he's got no room to play in our lives, as we commit the reading of the word to you, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. As you take your seats. Amen. You'll just bear with us. I think they have apologized that we don't have a Zulu interpreter, but we will continue. Amen. Now, this morning, without waste of time, I want us to speak about the Joshua generation. Amen. That's what we want to speak about this morning. Maybe if I could just have my screen projecting something there. We know that the book of Joshua, it's a conquering book. Amen. Amen. It is a book that is characterized by battles that Joshua fought. As they often say, in Genesis, God chose men. Yes. Like people like Abraham when they were chosen. And in Exodus, he redeemed men. And in Leviticus, he called men. And in Numbers, he spoke to men. And in Deuteronomy, he commanded men. But in Joshua, we see God conquering. Hallelujah. Now, just before we get to the message, I just want to show you, in terms of the map, the contrast between the Joshua generation and the Moses generation. And this morning, when we come to the end of the service, you will decide for yourself whether are you the Joshua generation or are you the Moses generation. Hallelujah. But my greatest desire is to be the Joshua generation, and I'll show you why. This is the journey of the Israelites in the wilderness. They left, we know that the prophet spoke about the three parts when he spoke about Israel. He spoke about Israel in Egypt, Israel in the wilderness, and Israel in the promised land. Hallelujah. And he said the journey of the Israelites typed the journey of the church. We were not called to remain in Egypt. We were called to leave Egypt. But we were not called to, our destination was not the wilderness. We've got to go, we must pass through the wilderness and get into the promised land. Hallelujah. Now, when you look at this generation, when you trace them on the map, you absolutely had no idea as to where were they going. It was just a directionless journey, zigzag in the wilderness. Amen. And I believe that as a believer this morning, never find yourself in the wilderness where you've got no sense of direction. If God called you somewhere, make sure that you don't rest until you reach that destination. And this morning, we know that God called us. the ultimate goal of our journey is that these bodies must rapture. And as long as these bodies have not raptured, we must be restless. Hallelujah. Now, when you look at this, and above or beside the point that it was a directionless generation, it was a murmuring generation. A generation that complained about everything. Despite what God did amongst them, they didn't acknowledge God's presence. They didn't acknowledge God's goodness. They just complained. Hallelujah. Now, when you look, the star just shows where how they were moving. You just see a zigzag. Hallelujah. One moment they are there, one moment. So it is just that generation. Hallelujah. And this morning, there are people that are in the message that really type the Moses generation. You don't know whether they are going forward or they are going backwards. They've got no sense of direction. And I'm simply saying, if you are not growing, maybe you are part of this generation. Hallelujah. Because the generation of Joshua, you will see, they moved with a sense of purpose. For these ones, their movement was not even hindered. They could move from a place to place. There were no giants. Hallelujah. But you are going to see how the Joshua generation moved. For every city that they had to enter, there were giants that they must overcome first. Hallelujah. And it's quite amazing that a lot of times we wonder why God brings certain battles in our lives. Have you realized that the battles make you to be focused as a believer? Yes. Hallelujah. A believer that doesn't have battles a lot of times is a believer that is directionless. I think it was Billy Paul that said to the prophet and say, I think the devil is trying to get behind me or is after me. And Brother Branham say, if he's after you, that means he's not in you. Hallelujah. And this morning I say, if the devil is not after you, probably is in you. Because a real believer will have a battle. The battle is raging. We are on the battle front here. Hallelujah. And when you are in a battle, and you will see even the complaints that they had, it showed that as much as they were moving forward, they had the desire to go back. As often we say, they left Egypt, but Egypt was still in them. Yes. Hallelujah. And there are people that leave the world, well, the world is still in them. Hallelujah. There are people that live a denomination, well, a denominational spirit is still in them. Hallelujah. But when you look at this generation, as I say, they didn't have a goal. It's as if when you read about them, it's as if they were forced to leave Egypt. It seems like Moses came and forced them and said, today we need to leave Egypt. It doesn't seem like going to Egypt was in them. In every environment, everywhere where they go, if there was a problem, they magnified the problem. Have you ever seen such people? They come up with they come across a small problem, but they make it bigger than it seems. Hallelujah. It was this type of generation. But when you look at the generation of Joshua, just before we go into our notes, this was the map during the time of Joshua. When you look at the map, there were wherever you see, there were giants all over. From the east to the west, from the north to the south, the area was dominated by the giants. But the promise says, you need to go and possess the land. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. The ultimate goal is that we need to get into the promised land and possess the promised land. But look at the battle was not easier for the Joshua generation. But for the Moses generation, I mean, they complain about water. The next time they complain about food. In some scripture, they even spoke about the garlic that they enjoyed in Egypt. A directionless generation. But look at the map during the time when Joshua took over. Every area was dominated by the giants. And when you look at how Joshua approached the battle versus the way Moses approached the battle, you will find something here. The prophet says, when Moses was in the wilderness, he sent 12 spies to go and spy the land. But he says Joshua only sent 2. Hallelujah. He says a lot of times where you've got the majority, you've got many opinions and divisions. There's a lack of focus. Hallelujah. But the way Joshua handpicked his spies, he wanted to get the people that would go and see the land and come with a message of encouragement and say, we have seen the land. We are more than able, we are more than capable to take the land. And this morning, the church is looking for ministers that can go and view the land and come back with a positive report and say, the promises are tangible. We saw the promises, just hang in there. Keep on fighting. Hallelujah. Because now, when you look at Joshua, this was the map during that time. Now, after Moses passed off the scene, God comes. He's the one that made an announcement about the death of Moses. And said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. The word arise, it's a verb, it's something that you've got to do. Hallelujah. It is a time of action. It is a time to move forward. When somebody say arise, it means maybe if you were standing up, you need to stand up because it is a time to move. Hallelujah. God wanted to make sure that once Moses departed from the scene, they did not dwell on mourning about Moses. When God takes the prophet, it's not the time to mourn. It is the time to arise and move forward. Hallelujah. Because why? The Joshua generation was a moving generation. They were not stagnant. They wanted to possess the lands. I mean, when you look at Joshua, you look at Caleb, you see their enthusiasm when they came back to view the land. They said to the Israelites, we are more than capable to take the land. And today, if you are part of the junior generation, we are looking for that enthusiasm in your life to see the word being materialized. The Joshua generation is not interested about hearing the word without the fulfillment of the word. What they hear, they want that to be actualized in their lives. And this morning, we are not here just to listen to philosophy or to listen to a theology. We want something that can bring the manifestation. We want something that can bring the results. We want something that can make the giant in front of you to be reduced to nothing. Amen. Hallelujah. The Moses generation was not capable to confront the giants. That is why God moved to them in zigzag. He wanted to sift that generation until the Bible says all men of war were consumed. Hallelujah. Because why? It was a generation of excuses. They found an excuse for every challenge that they approached. There was an excuse. But the Joshua generation, they did not have an excuse. It's people like Caleb. They knew and they had identified their spot in the promised land. That is why when the battle was done, he says to Joshua, give me my mountain. Hallelujah. They were not fighting for charity. They were fighting because there had to be a reward at the end of the battle. And this morning there are believers that are not just in the message just to be good fellows. They're not in the message just to have a good conduct. They're not in the message just to be good church members. They've got a reward in their mind. And they are obsessed that we want to get that reward. Because there is a crown at the end of the journey. Hallelujah. We are not just coming this. Brother Bram say, I was never called to start an organization. Hallelujah. We are not here to start an organization. But he says, I want to create individuals that will become the super house of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And the Joshua generation will be the super house of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And when you look at how they approach the things, their attitude. Hallelujah. And now God comes to him and says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise. Go over this Jordan. Though, and when God said they must go over Jordan, it was not during the summertime. It was when Jordan was flooding. It was when the river was raging. Whenever God says, arise and go, to show that you are with God, there will be obstacles before you. Because why? God likes to show, he wants to show his sovereignty. He wants to show his Godhood. Hallelujah. If he says we need to move this way, trust me, he's not going to choose an easy way. There could have been an easy way to the promised land, but God preferred the harder way. So that at the end, the people should not attribute the success to themselves. They must attribute it to the Almighty God. The challenges that we will go through, it will be challenges that seem insurmountable. They will seem like they are not easy, but God wants you to go through them so that after them you should be able to acknowledge and say, it wasn't me, but it was the Almighty God. Because a human being has got a tendency to praise themselves. The human being without God, they've got an I disease. I did it this way. I liked it this way. I approached it this way. This is not your battle. It's the Lord's battle. That's why God will bring you into situations where you compare yourself with your situation. You realize that you are absolutely a no match. Hallelujah. But when you compare the very same situation with the one that called you, you realize I'm more than capable. Are we together, believers? Now, he says, now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all these people, and unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Look at the contrast. When the Moses generation got to the Red Sea was raging. But look how they complained. Moses, did you take us out of Egypt in order for us to come and die in the wilderness? It was a panicky generation. But look at the Joshua generation. They as well faced the same challenge. But look at the attitude. There was no noise in the camp. Joshua came and told them how they are going to approach Jordan, how the ark had to be in front of them, how they had to go and the priest had to go before them. And there was no murmuring in the camp. Because why? They knew the one that they were with. Hallelujah. And this morning I can say, do you know the one that is with you? Or are you only seeing yourself in whatever situation that you find yourself in? When a believer realizes who he is with, the devil comes absolutely to nothing. Now, when they approach Jordan, we know how they approached it. The ark was in the front with the priest. And there was a distance in between them. And as soon as the priest touched the Jordan, the water separated and they were on the other side. But look how Joshua, the new commander, approached the battle. Firstly, he took them to Gilgal. Before they could approach the battle, he took them to Gilgal. Why did they have to go to Gilgal? Hallelujah. The reason they had to go to Gilgal is because right there God said to Joshua, you need to sharpen the knives and make sure that they go through circumcision. You need to cut their foreskins. They need to be circumcised because they were not circumcised in the wilderness. Before you approach the battle, make sure that you don't have extra flesh. Extra flesh, it means the world. Make sure that you are spiritually circumcised before you approach the battle. Because when you approach the battle with too much flesh, you are going to be defeated. Hallelujah. He wanted to make sure that they are circumcised. And they were circumcised in Gilgal. And look, once they were circumcised, God acknowledged their maturity as well. The Moses generation looked in the sky for the manna to fall. But the Joshua generation, they ate the coin of the land. Hallelujah. They ate the fruits of the land. It was a generational transition. Hallelujah. And look how things happen, as I often say. When they crossed over Jordan, even God changed the form. He was no longer just a pillar of fire or the cloud. He became a human being with a sword because it was a time of battle. Hallelujah. Now, when he was with them there, We find that when they got to Gilgal after the circumcision, now they thought about going to Jericho. Jericho was a fortified city. It was a well-protected city. It had high walls. A chariot could move on top of the wall. Hallelujah. But let me tell you something. When God shows you the enemy, no matter how protected the enemy is, God knows where the enemy is vulnerable. When Goliath was protected, God knew where Goliath was exposed. The problem that you are facing, God knows its vulnerability. There is somewhere where it is vulnerable, but you cannot see it. But you need God to show you that this problem is not bigger than as it seems. Hallelujah. Now, Joshua, you can remember coming into the shoes of Moses, such a great leader. And now we realize that you must remember that when Joshua was with Moses, the only battle that they fought was with the Amalekites. But other than that, there were no battles in the wilderness. So Joshua, he didn't know, he couldn't compare how Moses fought with the giants. Because Moses never met the Philistines. Moses never met the Canaanites. Moses never met all sorts of nations that were there. It was their first encounter with this generation. And I'm glad that sometimes you need the people that you not have an experience, because an experience sometimes brings excuses. Hallelujah. Have you ever seen somebody that has got so much knowledge, you telling them it can be done this way, say, no, it cannot be done this way. We tried it 15 years ago. It never worked. Hallelujah. And sometimes that's why when you come into the message, God must empty out the denominationalism out of you, so that it should never be a point of reference, because what we are approaching, it has never been approached before. Hallelujah. And God wants to make sure that what we approach is new, so that we can rely on Him. Because if you've got a point of reference, you rely on your experience. And the Bible says, lean not unto your own understanding. Hallelujah. And that's why when you want to get somewhere with God, suspend your mental capacity. God is not interested on how you think. It's not your thinking. It is His thinking that will supersede the situation. You are a human being. You are limited. But God is not limited. You are a human being. You've got challenges that are beyond you. God has got no challenge that is beyond Him. Hallelujah. And Joshua, he realized that. And as he was moving before they approached Jericho, he was just moving around there, trying to think of a military strategy. And remember, they had no armaments. The only thing that they had was the ark and the priest. Sometimes you don't need much as long as you have the weight. Hallelujah. They had the weight. And as he was moving around there, then he meets a man that he didn't know. And he said, are you with us or against us? And the man said, I'm the captain of the Lord's host. Hallelujah. And as he was there, then he began to take off his shoes, because he was standing on holy ground. The same one that met Moses in the burning bush is the same one that met Joshua. That's why I say, you are standing on a holy ground. You can never advance forward unless the God of your prophet is with you. Amen. Hallelujah. And if the God of the prophet is not with you, you are just in a theory. And a theory can never conquer the devil. Are we still together?
Yes.
Now, the prophet in the message, as I was with Moses, so I'll be with you, he says, I like that, paragraph 34. For any good soldier that is apt to get wounded or hurt, but is still a soldier and has got a purpose and something to fight for, he will rise and try again. Any soldier of the cross will do exactly the same thing. Hallelujah. The Moses, the soldiers that were with Joshua, they were willing to be wounded, but they were not willing to let their wound stop the battle. They were willing to rise up again even after the enemy has given them a big punch. And today, we need such believers. If the devil brings a tornado in your life, don't make a tornado God. Ride on that tornado. Because while you are a soldier, A soldier is not judged by the number of times he falls. He's judged by the number of times he rises every time he falls. Are we together, believers? No, he says, to Joshua, the new commander of the army, after Moses had passed on, seeing that God stayed with him in his mistakes, he held his commission. No matter what Moses did, it was Moses' office that God respected. And I think maybe this one must go to the generation that would want to criticize the prophet. No matter how many mistakes he made, it is his office that God respected. It is his commission that God respected. And let me tell you, as a believer, you will make mistakes. And for goodness sake, it must not be willing mistakes. Hallelujah. Because a mistake must reflect that it's a mistake. And if it's not a mistake, it was done willingly. It's just an act that you got yourself into. But mistakes will happen. But God is not looking at your mistakes. God is looking for a commission. Joshua knew that. I don't care what the enemy out there looks like. The only thing that I know, God respects the commission. Yes. And this morning I can say, no matter what you are up against, what God respects is the commission. Don't just be a believer, be a commissioned believer. Because when all else, a commission will never fail. Hallelujah. God will back up his commission. And how do you know that it's God's commission? Who called you? If it was a man, it will be a man made. And we know the end of the ways of a man is defeat. But if you were called by God, no matter what you are up against, God will respect his commission. And this morning I want to say, the bride is a commissioned church. The bride is a commissioned army. No matter what she's about, God is looking at the commission. And Brother Branham say, I've gone into situations where I was challenged, but I knew that God will never turn his back on his commission. And this morning I want to say, are you a commissioned believer? Or are you just a believer that is volunteering to be a believer? But we need commissioned believers that understand who they are. Yes. Hallelujah. That I know who called them. Amen. Hallelujah. And when they meet the giants, they don't complain. They run towards the giants because it is their land. Yes. And when you look at Moses' generation versus the Joshua generation, the Moses generation was complaining about garlic and recipes that they used to enjoy in Egypt. But the land was not theirs. Yes. Hallelujah. They were born in bondage. And sometimes the devil can make you enjoy your bondage. Did you hear me? Because while they were out of Egypt, they still wanted to go back to Egypt. And say, Egypt was nice. We had graveyards in Egypt. Hallelujah. Was the graveyard part of the promise? No, sir. Was the garlic part of the promise? No, sir. The promise is that you need to go to Canaan, your promised land. Hallelujah. And now when they were moving in the wilderness, hallelujah, let's continue here. And here one time, I'm in paragraph 39, Moses complained about having too much. So God took his spirit and divided it among 70. They had no more spirit than they had at the beginning. They had no more spirit than they had at the beginning. They just had more machinery. Same amount of spirit. God can put his entire spirit upon a man if he wants to. Or he can scatter it amongst thousands if he wants to. Hallelujah. In this ministry, when Brother Branham started, God poured his spirit in the prophet. But after his departure, he scattered his spirit among men and women. The same spirit that was in the prophet is now in men and women. There has been a spiritual multiplication. It's no longer one man, but it's a body ministry. Hallelujah. He says, one day, he put his whole spirit upon a man called Jesus. Now he has scattered it through his churches everywhere. God keeps his commission. Only two, that's why we say the greatest tragedy that the devil regrets is when he crucifies Jesus on the cross. Because he was one man. He could manage one man and locate him and check on him. But after Jesus died and resurrection, it was no longer one man. It became a universal movement. They were all scattered. The Jesuses were all scattered around the world. He looked in Africa. There were Christ in Africa. He looked in America. Spiritual multiplication. And that's why today, no wonder the devil cannot defeat the army of God. Because one moment, if he gets you, there is another believer to rescue you. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And how do they rescue? They pray for you. And the Joshua generation, when you look at it, they had no time to be judgmental. Because they were caught in the intensity of the battle. Everyone had to have their sword out.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Because why? Everybody knew that the enemy must not come through me. The battle is not going to be lost through me. I will protect my territory. I will make sure that my sword is ready. The devil must never come through me. And the church must be exactly in the same way. Men and women must be determined and say, no matter what the devil is planning, let him not come through me. And what does it call for? It calls for diligence. When a soldier moves, he's careful. Every step that he takes, he stops at some point in time and listens to the movements around him. You've got to be cautious in order to be a soldier. A soldier does not walk aimlessly and carelessly. They walk with a sense of purpose. If he moves this from here to there, he knows why he's moving. There is a rationale, there is a reason behind every movement. Hallelujah. And sometimes in the battle zone, hallelujah, you've got to have your partner's back. If we have dispatched your soldiers there, remember the battle is not about an individual. It's about team effort. And when you are with other soldiers, you must remember they've got their mothers, they've got their fathers, they've got their children. They are expecting them to come back from the war zone. So while we defeat the enemy, we must protect one another. But that was not like that with the Moses generation. They blamed one another. Every day when the problem presented itself, it was a new blame game. But not the Joshua generation. They've got an obsession. They want to make sure that the goal is realized. And what is the goal? They must drive the giants out of their promised land. And this morning I can ask you, what made you to come to church? What makes you to leave this message? What makes you to be so completely surrendered to the message? What is the ultimate goal? And I will know whether you are serious about it based on how you live. If you are casual in your living, it means that your goal is very casual. But to some people, it's a matter of life and death. I'm coming out of this as a victor. I may come with some wounds. The blood might flow, but I'm coming out as a victor. I don't know whether we have the people that are determined and say, I'm coming out of this as a victor. I'm coming out of this as a conqueror. It may look bleak. It may look impossible. But I'm determined that when I come out of this, I will be a conqueror. And I'm not interested to hear what the devil says. I'm coming out as a winner. Are we together? Now he says, Joshua, the new warrior. The only two now, he had only two people that had left Egypt with. There were only two people that had left Egypt. It was Joshua and Caleb. And Joshua, the new commander to lead an army, the second to the place where a great man like Moses stood. And the prophet say, I think of a minister today that's called to step into the tracks where Jesus stood. What a commission. But each that's called of God is commissioned to stand in that place. And there is a promise, I will be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. Each minister's place called to stand where he would. The works that I do, shall you do also. Each minister is ordained of God and is commanded to stand in the tracks of Jesus Christ and perform the duties that Jesus performed. That's quite a command. And he continues, says, the church organization, Because in one message it says, the Moses generation typed the church age. Never produced the result, but it was building up to something. He says, and the church organization and denominations have failed. They will not take the church over. God will raise up a new system, an interdenominational system by the power of God that will take the church into the promised land. The word interdenominational, it simply means that he will raise the people that will be so much in unity. There will not be clannishness amongst them. There will not be divisions amongst them. There will be so much united and have a singleness of mind towards realizing the goal. And it says, organizations and denominations have messed it up. Each one after their own theology and one after their own thinking. But God will take his Holy Spirit and will raise his Joshuas that will take the church to the promised land with no denominational strings tied anywhere, but will take over his church. Joshua, it means the fivefold ministry. It will be the Holy Ghost operating in the main in order to make the church to cross over. It will not have any denominational strings tied to it. Hallelujah. He says, because the church system has failed, but this one shall not fail. And what is the Joshua of our time? The Holy Ghost indwelling men and women in order to make them cross over. That is the Joshua of our time. And I want to say, he will never fail. As much as God was with Moses, God will be with this Joshua. And today I want to say, no matter what we are up against, the bride shall possess every promise of God. Are we together? He says Moses had failed. He was a lawgiver. Joshua was called grace. And he took the church on. And they said to Moses, we will follow you as we did Moses. We can see the same thing that followed Moses following you. Only be strong and courageous. This morning, we are not just following the eloquency of men. We are not following men based on their stature. But we are following men based on what we have seen in the prophet. Hallelujah. And for them to appreciate and to know what Joshua was is because they knew Moses. If you did not know Moses, it wasn't going to help you following Joshua. Because Moses had set the standard. Hallelujah. And that's why they say, only if we see the God of Moses going with you, we shall follow you. And I want to say, in the end time, we are not interested in the isms, but we are following exactly what started in Moses, which was Brother Branham in the end time. And we are not interested in new theology. We are not interested in building an organization, but we want the people to experience Jesus Christ as they experience him at the day of Pentecost. Amen. I hope we are together. Amen. And it says, God called ministers ought not to be stuffed out with theology, but have to visit the land to where we are going and bring back evidence of the divine love and power of Jesus Christ to make known to their congregation that there is a land beyond the river. Today, we need men that are able to peep through the other dimension and come and tell the church and say, these promises are real. And I'm standing here to tell you that rapture is as real as you are this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Resurrection is as real as you are this morning. When all is said and done, God shall fulfill his word. But we want the people to be in their post of duty. We want the people to keep on fighting. The battle is not going to be easier. It will get intensified as we go on. But I want you to remember who you are. You are a soldier to begin with. You are not just a church member. Hallelujah. Now he says, now Joshua, in his knowing that the command was great, but having the assurance he could be fearless, he could be and would call it reckless, as long as he was pointed towards the right way. He might break up a hill that would knock him backwards, but he was headed the right way. He was reckless. What does it mean? He had a reckless faith. And this morning, this Joshua generation shall have a reckless faith. They shall go into an area that is infested with giants, and they will move around with a sense that this is our land. And will drive them out of the land. Hallelujah. The Moses generation, everything that they approached, they were very cautious. Because they wanted to protect their skin. And whenever a situation arises, the first thing that they ask themselves, what danger does it pose to me? But not the Joshua generation. They have got a reckless faith. What is a reckless faith? This is David. This is what David had. He comes into the war zone. He finds a giant insulting the army of God. And he says, I'm going to take him on. No experience, no armaments, but something in him said, I'm more than capable to take this giant on. And when you analyze, he was not interested in your analysis. When Saul said, this man has been a man of war, David did not care. He said, you don't know who has been with me, king. I have destroyed the lion, I have destroyed the bear, and I shall destroy this Goliath. And we need such people. Don't tell us your challenges. Tell us how you have overcome. Because this is the age of overcomers. Hallelujah. That's what we need, a reckless faith. And the prophet said, so can the church of the living God be reckless and fearless? Reckless, it means you are not careful. Hallelujah. Joshua was not careful. Whatever God told him, he did it. No matter how risky it may be. And we're looking at the people that can take God at his weight. And today, the reason the church does not ask from God is because they are not willing to be reckless. You are careful about what the neighbor will say when they hear about what you want from God. Hallelujah. Believers cannot ask for so much because they are scared to be ridiculed. But how about Noah that preached the same message for 120 years? The flood is coming. The flood is coming. They ridiculed him. The flood is coming. We need such believers. Because being reckless, it makes you not to be sensitive to world's opinions. And we need a church that will not be sensitive to world's opinions. We don't need a church that will not be sensitive to the critics of the world. We need a people that are immune from criticism. They know if God said it, that settles it. Are you a type of a person that can take God at his word? Hallelujah. Or are you analytical in your way of doing things? And I can tell you, your analysis will always project a situation that seems impossible. Hallelujah. Because why? Joshua, when he was with them, and even when they came to give a report to the spies, they never dwelled down. It was a time to move. Hallelujah. And when you realize, when Joshua stopped at the sun, you realize the pressure that he was under. You realize he wanted the battle to be settled once and for all. Have you ever been in a battle that has been lingering for long and you wish that it must be done and over with? You don't want to walk away from it. You want to see it through. And I want to say to you as a believer, God is not going to rescue you in your battle. You've got to see it through. It is your battle. It has your DNA. I cannot fight your battle. You cannot fight my own battle. Every battle has got everyone's DNA. Hallelujah. If I try to fight your battle, I will be defeated. If you try to fight mine, you will be defeated. Because everyone has got a position. And a position comes with a territory. And a territory comes with a battlefield. I hope we are together. But it says, can the church of the living God be reckless and fearless? In faith, if we are pointed to the right way, for he said, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. He never forsook Moses. Did he forsake Brother Branham? He never forsook Brother Branham. He will never forsake you. As long as he made a promise, he will see it through. I will be with you and I will be in you until the end of the world. And as long as the end has not come, you just need to acknowledge that he is with you. And sometimes he will not be visible because you need to know that by faith he is around. Hallelujah. Because sometimes God is not factual. He cannot come and cause a thunderstorm. Sometimes he will be still and be in your life. But you need to know that someone is with me. Hope we are together. He never failed Moses. He will not fail Joshua. He will not fail us. He will be with you. Now we find Joshua to take this commission, knowing the responsibilities of leading them through the lands, that he would have to go over into the other land. He would have to set up the kingdom. Joshua understood there are certain elements of Joshua's ministry that you need to follow. Joshua knew that his ministry was based on a commission. The second thing that he knew, it was he needed to cross over. And once he has crossed over, he knew that he had to set up a kingdom. You cannot set up a kingdom in the wilderness. A kingdom must be set up where you possess the land. And this morning I want to say, the church must know. Jesus never said, go and form churches. He says, go and declare the kingdom of God. We are the kingdom builders. Hallelujah. And you can never be a kingdom builder until you think like a king. What does it mean to have a kingdom? When United Kingdom was a kingdom, what did they do? They went around the world, and the first thing they looked, it was Africa. Then they sliced up certain portions, divided them amongst themselves, and they came and formed a colony. And South Africa was a colony of the British. That means our laws had to mirror the British laws. Our way of doing, that's why we speak English, not French, because of our colonizers. Sometimes you eat fork and knife, it's because of how you were colonized. Hallelujah. But I want to say, that's a colony. A colony operates under a kingdom. And this morning, when you are here in Witbank as a believer, God wants to start his colony here in Witbank. Yes, hallelujah. That our dressing must reflect the kingdom dressing. Our talking must reflect the kingdom talking. Our way of doing things must reflect a kingdom. And you are sitting here as an ambassador of that kingdom to make sure that this area is colonized by the word of God. Are you willing to be part of that people? Are you willing to challenge the status quo and conquer the land and say, it must reflect the kingdom that I come from? And when you are an ambassador, you must never adopt the mannerism of the country that you are in. When you are an American ambassador, goodness, when Christmas comes, you want your turkey. When, you know, turkey is a big business in America around Christmas. Hallelujah. You don't eat chicken because you are in a country that eats chicken. No, your diet is dictated from somewhere. And this morning I want to say to you, and I don't know how true it is, I still have to research. I'm told that if you were to get into the American embassy and commit crime, the way they are going to prosecute you, it will be based on the American legal system, because American embassy, that's their land within the land. Hallelujah. So as soon as you step into the American embassy, you are actually in America. Amen. Hallelujah. The way you do things must reflect that you are in America, but yet you are in South Africa. I say, oh God, give the believers the ability to create a land within a land. Yes. A world within a world. Yes. That while you are here in Witbank, but you are in heaven. Yes. Because why? That's what kingdom, when you build a kingdom, that's how you do it. Amen. But a lot of times, I don't know whether it's because of amnesia, we come here and forget actually where we come from. Because where we come from, we are kings. Where we come from, we are priests. Where we come from, we are intercessors. But sometimes we forget and we want to fit in with the world. Don't fit in with the world. Stand out. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The other time, we had I think it was in a high school, we had a teacher from Ghana. And he used to teach us English.
where he was in Ghana, he used to belong to the royal family. And it's the first time they brought him there. Gee, I wish I had a picture you would see. Mm-hmm. Things that he was wearing, he was really funny looking. But when he came and stood there, and obviously the kids will be giggling in the audience, and as we were giggling, I said, why is he wearing like that? I mean, they wear something like a dress, it has something like a crown. Then he announced that where he comes from, he's part of the royal family. And the royal family, this is how they need to be dressed wherever they are. And I say, this man is not ashamed. Had it been somebody who would have slipped into a very comfortable suit because it's the first time you meet the people. But no, he wanted the people from the head on to know who he was, to know his background. That's how a believer must be like. When you meet the people, they must know your background. They must know where you come from. They must know what you stand for. And never be apologetic. And while at it, tell them that I'm here to colonize this area. Hallelujah. How do you colonize them? Testify to them. Challenge their system. Because this is a battle of system. If your system doesn't swallow theirs, it will swallow yours. Hallelujah. If your doctrine doesn't swallow theirs, they will swallow yours. If your faith doesn't swallow theirs, they will swallow yours. And that's why you need always to stand out. Now Joshua, he knew that he had to set up the kingdom. He would have to divide the inheritance among them. Firstly, it is the commission. Firstly, you need to cross over into the land. Thirdly, he had to set up the kingdom. Fourthly, there had to be an inheritance. The Joshua generation knew that at the end of it, there is an inheritance. I don't know whether have you ever seen a believer who just comes to church, believes the message, and has got no expectation of the reward at the end of the journey. It's like an athlete, if you have been in athletics. There are people that run for recreational purposes. They just run because they happen to announce that there's going to be a comrade marathon. He runs just to see how far they can get. And as soon as they get tired, they are done. They stop by the side of the road, grab their coke, and greet everybody that is passing by. Because why? They are not running for any reward. But have you ever seen an athlete? A professional athlete runs for reputation. He wants to break the record that has been set in the marathon before. When he runs, and I'm told that as you run, you get to a point where your muscles cannot carry you anymore. They become so tense. But ultimately, at that point in time, a real athlete knows that if I just keep on moving and ignore the pressure of the body, I will realize the reward. Amen. And a real athlete can never run until he has visualized victory. He visualized when he's carrying that crown and they announce him, he's a record breaker. And when he's running there, that vision is clear in his mind. But one with recreational purposes, as soon as they go uphill, he stops. It's like a believer that doesn't know why they believe for. Hallelujah. They run a mile, there is a problem, they stop. But if you are a real believer, you know that when you are in a battle, it's not your reputation that is at stake. It's God's reputation that is at stake. Hope we are together. And you know that if you give up, it reflects back on your God. So what do you have got to do? You've got to keep on fighting. Even when the environments are unfavorable, you know that I'm the only one that is protecting God's reputation. Can you be trusted with God's reputation? Are we still together? Amen. Now it says, he had a good reason for it. Now remember,
Before he crossed over, he sent a spy over, two of them, to search out the land. Now Moses had sent a whole group of them over there, but they all came back confused. Watch the new ministry. He never did that. He knows where you've got 1,500 different ideas, you've got 1,500 confusions. And God, when he approaches things, he doesn't use the majority, he uses quality. Yes, sir. That's right. Hallelujah. Whenever you see, okay, I will say it. When you compare, even around the world, presidents that have got bigger cabinets, they've got bigger confusion.
Come on, sir.
And those that have got smaller cabinets, they're effective. And sometimes, to know whether a leader is effective, look at the number that surrounds him. The bigger the number, the bigger the confusion. That's the prophet. Hallelujah. You've got different confusions. You've got different ideas. Hallelujah. But Joshua just decided that I will send two spies to go and spy the land. And Joshua had faith in his commission as Moses had faith. Things went wrong for Moses. It looked like he failed many times, but he rode triumphantly and died on the rock, and the angels packed him away. God, let me go like that. Let me hold my commission till someday when I get ready to die, I will see the rock laying there before me. Joshua kept his commission because he stayed right with the word. Now, when these two spies went over to spy the land, then they came across a woman called Rahab, who was a prostitute there. And the prophet said, Rahab knew that Joshua had this commission. He says, don't miss this. Hold these things in your heart. Joshua had the commission. Rahab recognized it before she saw anything. She knew that Joshua had the power, that God was going to take the land. She asked for mercy and God granted her mercy. Now, when Joshua came into the land, of course, she was spared. A prostitute was able to recognize the commission of Joshua and her life was spared. Hallelujah. Let's just read a scripture here. Joshua chapter 5, verse 2. It says from verse 2, at that time the Lord said unto Joshua, make these sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the heel of the foreskins. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise. All the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness, by the way, after they came out of Egypt. Now, the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness, by the way, as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land, which the Lord sware unto their fathers that he would give us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. And there are children whom he raised up in their state, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised, because they had not circumcised them by the way. And it came to pass, when they had done circumcising all the people, that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day Have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you? Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month and at even in the plains of Jericho. They did eat of the old coin of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes, parched coin in the same day. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old coin of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna anymore, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. Hallelujah. Let's just contrast it somewhere as we, if we go up in the book of Numbers 11. Verse 4 and 5 only. If you find it, you can say amen. It reads in this manner, I found. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a lasting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. These people were just thinking about the salad that they left in Egypt. Hallelujah. But when you look at the Joshua generation, they ate the coin of the land. And here is something that I want to tell you. Brother Branham said, them leaving Egypt and them arriving in Canaan, it could have taken them 10 days, but it took them over 40 years. And he said the reason it took them over 40 years is because God had to sift them. Because the Bible says the mixed multitude went out. The believers, make believers and unbelievers, they well went out because they followed the signs and wonders that followed Moses. Hallelujah. But as they were going like that, for 40 years, God sifted them. The people that were there murmuring, they died in the wilderness. But a new generation rose up in the wilderness. And that generation knew that we've got to go and possess the land. And when they crossed over Jordan, look at this generation. Everyone knew that I need that city to be mine. I need that mountain to be mine. I've got to fight for it. Caleb says to Joshua, 40 years ago, when Moses spoke to us, I was 40 years. Now, 40 years later, give me my mountain. And where he wanted that mountain, there were still giants on the mountain. He says, I will drive them out. And 80-year-old men say, I will drive them out. He still had war in him. He still had enthusiasm for the word in him. He was into it for a long haul. And my question to you, if you have long been in the message, do you still have that happiness? Amen. Do you still have that joy of salvation? Amen. Do you still have that enthusiasm that I've got to go and possess all the bigger ring? The politics of the wilderness have weighed you down. Has the wilderness cost you so much that you cannot see possibility anymore? Hallelujah. But I want to say, the people that must cross over are the people that are determined. Yes. And no wonder the message took longer. The rapture would have happened a long time ago, I believe so. But God took longer so that things could come to the surface. The unbelievers and the believers must be identified. Amen. That's why you see a lot of people leaving the message. It's time for them to leave. Yes. Because God is sifting a generation. He wants a Joshua generation. Yes, and when you are over on the other side, we don't debate on quotations. We want to drive the giants out. And today I see message believers, they debate with quotations without possession. Hallelujah. Don't show me quotations. Show me your life. And say, these are the giants that I've destroyed. I destroyed this giant. I destroyed that giant. I destroyed it. And I've taken over my territory. Because a bunch of quotations is theory. And this is not a time for theory. Amen. I hope we are together here. And when we are facing these battles, we must remember, we are not orphans. We are not orphans.
We serve a God who's got every resource that we need for the hour. Amen. I'm not going to move around as a victim. A Joshua generation were not victims. But a Moses generation were victims. They were thinking of graveyards because they knew that all they were good for is slave labor, salad, and die and be buried. But not the Joshua generation. They said, we are the people that will make sure that a 400-year prophecy is fulfilled. Amen. And there was nothing that went to stop them from realizing that goal. If there was a child, they did not have a meeting about the child. They killed the child. I think Moses' generation was going to have a committee and a committee about this child. Not the Joshua generation. They've got their swords out. If something stands in their way, they cut it off. And I want to say, I'm part of that generation. The generation of possessors. Moses' generation was a generation of confessors. They talked much and had nothing. Another Joshua generation. Hallelujah. Not a Joshua generation. They knew who they were. They moved around with a sense of purpose. And they knew that they were a nation. But the Moses generation, they had Dathan, Korah, and Moses. They had camps. Not the Joshua generation. They were united. They were one that understood the goal that was at hand. Are you part of the Joshua generation? Or are you part of camps? Are you part of clans? You can never start a kingdom with clans. You start a kingdom as a nation. Joshua generation knew that they were a nation. They approached things as a nation. They fought as a nation. They conquered as a nation. And amongst them, they knew that if we are defeated, that means we are, if someone is defeated, we are all defeated. You remember when they went to Ai? And Moses said, Joshua said to them, God told me that Ai is nothing. And we are not even going to send many soldiers there. I think they sent only 3,000. And when they sent them to Ai, and when they got to Ai, the promise was that there was not going to be a casualty. No need for a Red Cross. When they were starting the battle, 36 men were down. And when 36 men were down, Joshua said, that is not according to the promise. Let us stop the battle. Something has gone wrong. Let us retreat. Something has gone wrong. And when they went back, they cast to the Lord and realized that Achan had stolen a Babylonian garment. And it has cost 36 men. Brother Branham says, this army must never be defeated. If it is defeated and it is due to your own misbehavior, you will be held accountable at the day of judgment. And he says, sometimes we pray for the sick, they don't get healed because of how other people are living. You must remember that your behavior affects the entire army. And God forbid that I should be the one that the army will lose the battle because of. Because it's a tragedy. That's why when you join this army, you must be diligent. You must be committed. You must be determined. And when things don't work out, raise your hands and need help. Don't do things secretly. Sometimes when people approach me as a pastor and say, Pastor, I did this, I don't know where to start. I say, I've seen it all. I've seen it all. Say it. Because I've realized, the moment you say it and confess it, it loses power over you. Amen. Hallelujah. No matter what it is, if you confess it, it has no hold of you anymore. It's a done deal. But when you keep it a secret, it will sink you. And not only you, it will sink other soldiers. And will call you a selfish soldier. Let me tell you something. In a war zone, if somebody comes and say, I'm injured, is it something that is extraordinary? Huh? It's expected that if we fight, somebody's going to be injured. If you are injured, raise your hand. We will make sure that you've got the first aid and you are sorted. But if you keep a secret, you will die. I don't know whether we're together. A Joshua generation doesn't keep secrets. Because they know that the team depends on me. Do we have Joshua generation here this morning? But the Moses generation is about pride. If you confess, they go and hold a meeting. Ah, this don't want to do that, brother. It's a brother. You know that he who confesses has got more credibility with God. And if somebody confesses and you make fun of their confession, the guiltiness of that sin comes upon you. Do you know that? That's why this generation must know that we possess. Hallelujah. And after they had taken out Achan, they took him out and unapologetically. They cast the lots, destroyed his family, and moved on. Hallelujah. That's why sometimes if you do something, you don't confess it and we excommunicate. It's not because we don't love you. The battle is too precious for us to lose it at this point in time. Hallelujah. Are we together, brethren? Let me just read here. He says, we are not here in the message, hear him. We are not here. Okay, like before I get there, paragraph 64. I like how he prayed in this prayer. It says, oh God, I don't know when I will preach my last sermon. But I pray, God, that somehow that this deep love and peace will settle ever on my heart here this afternoon, that they might become born again in the love of God and fellowship and love for each other and the brethren, and the loyalty to God. He says, when there is that fellowship, when there is that new birth, and there is that love, and there is that fellowship, and there is that love for each other as brethren, and the loyalty to God, it will revolutionize every organization. It will build up every church. It will build up every community. It will build the kingdom of God. And Father, dear, while we are thinking on these things, help us to understand and not to impersonate, but to really have what we are speaking of, something that drives us all, the nature of our being, God's Holy Spirit. When that new birth comes, when that love of God and the fellowship and the unity of the brethren, the loyalty to God, it will revolutionize every organization. Hallelujah. That's why I say, every soldier must have another soldier's back. If you are looking at that direction, you want to know that the reason I'm not looking behind me, there is somebody that is watching, who is a fellow soldier. And if something comes behind me, before I could even see it, they destroy it behind me. And I say, that's how the church needs to be like. When we come here, if there is something behind you that you don't see, I must destroy it. Not gossip about it. I must destroy it. Because you are my fellow soldier. If we are looking that direction, you are looking at that direction. Someone is looking at that direction. Someone is looking at that direction. But we are all protecting each other's back. He says, we are not here to build an organization. We are here to build up a principle. And that principle is Christ.
We're not building an organization. I'm not here this morning to build an organization. Christ never sent me to build organization. Christ sent me to build individuals to the stature of Jesus Christ, that they might be the powerhouse and the dwelling place of the Spirit, and by His word, and by His word, build the individual to that place. Not build an organization to a greater denomination, but build individual to sons and daughters of God. It's about an individual affair. And continuously, before I wrap up, not for one moment do I bring a message to the people that they may follow me or join my church or start some fellowship or organization. I have never done that. And will not do that now. I have no interest in those things, but I do have an interest in the things of God and people. And if I can accomplish just one thing, I'll be satisfied. That one thing is to see established a true spiritual relationship between God and men, wherein men become new creations in Christ, filled with His Spirit, and live according to His word. That was the goal of the prophet. And it should be our goal. We don't want to build this church to be better than another church. But we want to build these individuals to be better sons and daughters of God, of the kingdom. We're not building an organization, we're building a kingdom. We're not building a doctrine, we're building a principle, which is Christ. And this morning, all we've got to do, let's get the people to Christ. Amen. Not to us, as we stand up. Just give us a worshiping song.
Jesus came down and He lives every
Jesus.
us another one.
Let's sing it.
Give me tea.
Precious Heavenly Father God, Father God, we are humbled by your presence, O Lord. Father God, it is as if, O God, it's the place where Moses met you, O God, it's the same for us right now, O Lord. Father God, for you came down and you, Father God, came and remind us, O God, of our mission, O God. Father God, it is as if you came down, O God, and just adjusted our binoculars, O God, to show us the promised land this morning, O Lord. Father God, if there's some of us, O God, that feel, O God, that maybe the journey is a bit too long, or we missed the journey, O God. Father God, you came and you reminded us again, O God, where we're heading to, O God. Father God, we come, O God. Father God, and we know, Lord, that no matter, O God, what giants there may be in the land, O Lord, what mountains we need to overcome, O Lord, Father God, we already have victory, O God. Father, for, O Lord, as you were with Joshua, O Lord, so you are with us, O God. Father, for today, O Lord, Father God, we will possess the land, O Lord. Father God, no matter, O God, where our feet may lead us, O God, as long as you are with us, O God. Father God, nothing will stop us, O Lord. We say thank you for your word, O God. We thank you, O Lord, for our pastor, O God, that stood in the gap this morning, O Lord. Father God, we say bless him, O God. Father, restore virtue that has left him, O Lord. We thank you, O Lord, Father, that we could, O Lord, just be in your presence again, O Lord. We thank you, Lord, for encouragement for this week ahead, O Lord. Father God, we are grateful, O God, and thankful, O Lord. Father God, as we leave this place, O God, we know, O God, that we will possess the gates of the enemy, O Lord. Father God, for you have encouraged us again, O Lord. Father God, you have increased our faith again, O Lord. We say thank you, O Lord, for the food that you fed us with this morning, O Lord. We are grateful and thankful, O Lord. We thank you, Lord. Father God, we pray now in Jesus' mighty name, O God. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. Let's give us just a few jubilant songs before we go.
We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength.
We bow down and worship him now. Our faith, our walls are easy. We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy.
When we say we lift up our hands, as it is lift up our hands, the hands are in the pocket. We need to lift up our hands.
Yes.
Hallelujah. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down. You know, when you approach your king, you cannot just say we lift up our hands. No. Let's lift up our hands. Let's praise the Lord. We are in God's presence.
Let's make the devil jealous when we worship our God. Yes. Have you ever seen when they dance kwasa kwasa to the ass? You come to church, the church people, it's like we've got arthritis. No. Is that not? Awesome God. You know, He's an awesome God. He, for awesome people, He does awesome things. Our God is a, just give us another one. This God, you can worship Him for eternity. You will never run out of praises for Him. Amen. All right. 24, we changed the music service date to the 24th of October. 24th October, 4 o'clock, we are here for the music service. Amen. You're going to be blessed. Amen. We just had to change it with 1 week because there was another event behind the scene that is planned. Amen. 24th October, 4 o'clock. Are we together? Amen. I think it's going to be a big number. Make sure that you come early for your seat. Hallelujah. You know, I love music. I saw they were debating in the believers in Zimbabwe. They were having debates. And the brother wrote a wrong article about how when a song is, he's in Zimbabwe, he says, when a song is faster, people think it's wealthy in Zimbabwe. When it's slow, they say it's spiritual. Then he said, we as Africans, we are being denied to worship God in our way. I say, hey, this brother, when he comes to Witbank, he will be liberated. Amen. Because we sing both ways. Amen. And I saw they were enjoying Amen. They were busy discussing about Amen, and
I stole the Shona lyrics. I had to forward them to Skosi last night and say, now we'll slot Shona over and above Lingala. Amen. We love music. Amen. And we believe Africa to be one. We can sing in Lingala, Chichiwi, Zulu, Swahili. Yeah, that's our repertoire. And we can even cross the sea and sing in English, as we have done, and move back. Amen. So we don't want, like an automatic car. We change our gaze. Amen.
Hey.
How many are having that mystery? Sunday is good music, good weight, and good food. Oh,
Amen.
Bro Marcus, kule mpoperere, how are one release? Ke galbaga la rama said. Then after a feta ratsama, I'll translate it for you. When you see us like this, as pretty as we are, it's because of the grace of the Lord. Amen. You've led us very well this morning. Amen. I know Masuma when he was still very young. It's true. And all of a sudden, he just caught up with me with height. And I said, what happened? I remember him as a very petite young man, young boy. You bought a piano when you were still young. All right, I remember. All right, amen. It's my homeboy. We come back together there at Limpopo. Izanayo, just to give them a Limpopo flavor. Then after you are dismissed, till we meet on Wednesday. But don't forget, 24th October, in English, they normally say you let your head down and come and praise the Lord. Amen. Let go of the tensions, the cares of the world. Just come in His presence and glorify Him. Forget about a credit card that is due. Forget about the specialist appointment. Just come and glorify His name, because He's an awesome God. Amen. Till we meet. Translation. When we say, when you look at us being this pretty, hallelujah, it's only by the grace of, it's not camphor, it's not dawn, it's not all those, it's not skin bleaching, it's by the grace of the Lord. Ape, Takatar, now our peers, when you look at them, they've got puza faces. You don't know whether he was in a boxing ring or not. Things are jirmekar. But us, it's because of the grace of the Lord. Amen. The grace of the Lord makes you look radiant naturally as well. Hallelujah. Because you cast your cares unto him, you've got no stress. But we are knocking off. I'm leaving the pulpit. Just one more. You know this one that you say is national anthem? My daughter loves it. It's the first song that she relates to. When her mom goes shopping, we know if we play that one, we are sorted. Amen. God bless you. It has hit her subconscious mind. Give us song. Then the 24th. Yeah, that's, we were just giving you a foretaste. Amen. God bless you. Any song?
Minango.